Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with your politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I will be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Styles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
By the way, today's live stream is titled Green Tiny House, and I made tiny house one word, so I guess I invented the word. Green Tiny House, which is a word. Green Tiny House Innovation. We have, of course, Carlos and Chris. We'll get to them momentarily. And we're also waiting on a call from a person who has a green thumb themselves, so we'll be back right after this. Another installment of It's My House, and today, now we got Carlos and Chris. They're in South Florida right now, I guess, but we'll be with them momentarily. But we have a special guest that's called in, Ronnie from the Green Scheme. Ronnie's been on here before, and I'm gonna open up Ronnie's mic. Ronnie, thanks for coming in short notice. Tell us.
No problem.
who you are and tell us about the green scheme.
Okay, so good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me, Lee. My name is Ronnie Webb. I'm the founder and executive director of a nonprofit called The Green Scheme. At The Green Scheme, we address food access and food justice through youth development and through education. So I have a lot of people working in that space. It's a lot of, when you look into the food access space, you see a lot of different, there's a lot of different groups and ways that you can engage in that space, from being a farmer to working government to working with some of the NGOs and nonprofits that service the community or area or constituent base that, that you know, that's being targeted.
Now, Ronnie, this is primarily in Washington, D.C.?
Yes, this is in Washington, D.C., but we have expanded. We do some work in Baltimore, and we do some work in PG County, Maryland also. So, and we've done some work in Virginia too, so the DMV area. But what we like to do is we like to create models of education and tools that can be replicated and taken to similar communities to expand the impact and expand, you know, some of the innovative things that we're doing here in the district.
Now, what are some of those things, because I like that word innovative, what are some of the things that D.C., although I'm from D.C., is regulated out of the yin-yang for my take. So what are some of the things that you guys are doing in D.C.?
One of the new exciting things that I like, we have a new farm space that we opened up in Ward 8 in Southeast D.C., which you know has this list of issues from food access to public safety to affordable housing to just public health things, different stuff going on. But we were able to open up a space, a farm space there, and it was actually a collaboration. So us as a Green Scheme, a group called DC Greens, and another group called Friends of Oxen Run Park, where the farm is actually located at, we were able to create this educational farm space where I have an outdoor classroom for the youth, which has 21 raised beds, outdoor seating, chalkboards, tables to do demonstrations on, and in this farm space is actually located about 50 or 75 feet from a creek in Washington, D.C., in Oxen Run, so we're able to sort of address the food education pieces and the agricultural education pieces, but also the environmental education pieces, so like we have kids doing water quality testing. They're learning how trees connect to their environment. They're learning about the outdoor spaces and how to utilize them for careers or utilize them for ways just to improve their community, the health of their community, the environmental health of their community. So with this space, we sort of like on the cusp of environmental justice and food justice, and not just doing this work for a long time. There have been a lot of folks who have been trying to tap in and sort of collaborate those two sort of injustices and address it together. And I think we here at the district have found it a way to do that, and we had the resources. The urban farm is amazing. Cost, I want to say, about $2.4 million to build. We were able to lock a deal down with D.C. government, D.C. Department of Parks and Recreation, to gift us that space in Oxen Run Park. So it's a cool collaboration. That's just one thing that we're working on. We also launched a bottled water company, Artesian Alkaline Bottled Water Company. We'll be running youth entrepreneurship programs out of it, similar to the Girl Scout cookie model, where the kids can do fundraisers or they're at the farmers markets selling this water, making income, making 10%, making a 10% commission rate off of their sales and water. So we're just finding different ways to address our community health needs, but in really, really innovative ways. You know, one of the biggest things in the district and in black communities across the country is the impacts of sugar and sugary beverages, right? How they connect and how they are impacting negatively black communities, and how we're targeted by these industries. And so one of the things that we were able to do is we're like, oh, cool, well, we're going to tell people slow down on drinking sugary beverages. We need to have a much healthier alternative and something that's really accessible. So that's when we went, you know, we really dug deep and, you know, launched this Artesian Alkaline Water Company that is the water is produced locally manufactured and distribute locally. So we're keeping our carbon footprint down by doing those things. And we also, you know, do creek cleanups and different things to sort of address to sort of address some of the issues that's going on.
Oh man, I'm impressed with that water project you got going on. All right, now Ronnie, what I'm going to do, I'm going to introduce you to a couple of people. Matter of fact, Ronnie, are you on Clubhouse?
I was
a
while
back
during the pandemic. Yeah, I was on it a while back. I got to see if I still got to log in and stuff for it. But I was, and it was cool. It was a cool lot of information.
Yeah, well, I'm about to introduce you to two people that you'll get back on there if you listen to them. Okay, I'm going to open up their mics right now and have them introduce themselves to you, as well as new people that are tuning into the live stream.
Okay.
Let's see. Chris Collins, I got your mic open. And then Carlos, I have your mic open. And let's whoever wants to go with the baton next, Chris or Carlos. Matter of fact, let's start with Chris. Chris, Carlos, we'll go with you, Carlos. Carlos, I'm taking it for granted. You're in Miami right now.
Yeah, what an incredible story. We're actually on the way right now. And we're Doug Stanford from Doug Stanford Photography driving. We just left South Carolina from PJ's Coffee.
Okay.
Linda there was incredible. Her son's a veteran, Marine Special Forces, a big hoo-yah to Linda and her son. Thank you for your service. And the story, you know, that model of what he's talking about, and what is his name again?
Ronnie Webb.
That just talked.
Ronnie Webb.
Yeah, right. Ronnie Webb. And he's in Washington, D.C.
I got you, Ryan Webb. I'm 7 miles from the.
No,
from
Ronnie.
DC.
Ronnie. Not Ryan,
yeah,
but
Ronnie.
Ronnie Webb.
Oh, Ronnie. Okay. Ronnie. Sorry about that. Anyways,
okay.
We could take those centers that the kids are already learning at and actually unused property in D.C. And when you give them aquaponics, fish plants, and mushrooms, you involve all of the STEM, everything. It's like STEM on steroids. You've got biology, mycology, fish, plants, mushrooms, and then with the greenhouses, you also have ecology, you know, how to build sustainable structures. These are skills that will definitely help our children's children. And these are the skills that we want to teach kids that are coming out of areas that don't have a lot of opportunity. Because once you can build a house that grows your food, now you have some independence. Because usually, you know, and it has to be a house that doesn't require a lot of energy. So once you can meet those two components, now you have a shot. Now you can start pursuing your passion, doing something you care about, because you won't be straddled down with that aspect. And the most important part, I think, is really the mental health aspects of just doing something, you know, feeding yourself and taking care of other people and just doing it yourself. And that's, I'll land with that.
Right now, before we go to Chris, Carlos, share with Ronnie your credentials. Just, you know, academically as well as your dream project, Greenhouse.
I was military, and then after that, I got out, and I was homeless for a little bit, and then I worked my way through college to become an electrical engineer, and then I got a master's in electrical engineering and worked at some corporations, and eventually became a patent attorney. So that's what I do now. I'm a patent attorney. And, you know, the reason I say that is because I know a lot of the listeners think they don't have a chance, but I'm going to tell you it's really not that complicated. I know I don't want to make it sound simple, but, you know, everything is a curve, and most people are in the middle of the curve. So it means there's millions of people that are smarter than me, with more ability than me, that have done stuff. And there's millions of people not as smart as me, with less ability than me, that have also done stuff. So really it is, you know, setting your mind to it and doing something you're passionate about.
Now, Carlos, you're also an inventor. You're also an inventor now. Tell them about this greenhouse project you guys got, because you're on your way to Miami to put that on display, I believe.
First of all, I want to you know, shout out to brother Chris, but for Chris Collins, I always say, like, he got peanut butter in my chocolate, I got chocolate in his peanut butter. You know, I'm very team oriented, you know, being a vet, and also I was going to be in special operations, so I know what teamwork is about. And that's what I love about Chris. You know, he's somebody that I know has got my back. I got his back. And literally, you know, he had the manufacturing for what I invented, and I needed a manufacturer for what I was inventing. And we both had the same goal, which was to house and feed the homeless, especially homeless vets, which is a cause near and dear to my heart. So literally when I met him, it was the perfect combination. And, I don't want to brag about things. You know, I built greenhouses that grow fish plants and mushrooms with 4 feet of snow outside, or you can put them in the desert, or you can put them, you know, on the tundras, and they'll produce food. And, you know, I knew this would be something good to bring to the world. I took pictures of everything I did, and that's because, you know, what I do is free for personal and educational use. You know, if you're going to make money out of it, well, we've got patents covering the technology, so go ahead and make money off of it. You know, that's why it's protected. So we have both, you know, the humanitarian arm and the commercial arm. But to me, the humanitarian arm is the most important. However, you know, the commercial arm is what, you know, all the people that are into the material things are interested in. And it's equally important. You know, I'm not going to say it's not important, but just recently we figured out a way, like while you were talking, you know, I figured out a way we could do this, and it's going to take community involvement, and it's going to take communities that were, you know, literally attacked, everything that's happened, you know, the pandemic, you know, the people that have really lost are the small mom and pop people, you know, the little people, and they're the ones that are hurting.
Right.
So we as a community are going to have to, you know, and this is how we could do it with what he's doing. He's already got, you know, an organization to do that. We could sponsor a project there where we do a community raffle, right, through a nonprofit, and we build a greenhouse for somebody that needs it, a family or maybe a community greenhouse for a whole group of kids that are part of a program or something like that. So that's, you know, what we talked about last show, and I'll land with that. Thank you.
Okay, now we're going to hand the baton over to Chris Collins. Chris, good morning. Are you still in Illinois, or are you in Florida, or where? All right, Chris might. Yeah, Chris, his light is on, but he might be doing something else. All right, while we're waiting for Chris to come back wherever he is, Ronnie. So yeah, Ronnie. Carlos is in, he's out of Falls Church, Virginia, so you guys are not that far from each other, logistically speaking. So that's why I wanted you, Ronnie, to come on today, because I figured there could be some type of collaboration that you guys could possibly do. Carlos and Chris are both on Clubhouse. I'm on there every day, so that's why I asked, were you on Clubhouse? Is Chris there? Yet? Okay, we're still waiting on Chris. Ryan, you were saying about say something?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, Carlos, that sounds amazing. What's really cool is, and I think you said the key word is community, right? And so, like, these urban agriculture projects that we got, so we in schools too, so I didn't mention, so we run youth garden programs in D.C. public schools, charter schools, YMCAs, D.C. Department of Parks and Recreation sites, mainly youth development sites and public housing, right? And part of, for us to even put a small raised bed or an urban farm there, it takes a level of collaboration, it takes a level of having the right community partners a part of that, even if they're not part of urban agriculture or they're not really addressing the food access issue. One of the things that we have going on now is we're doing some consulting. We have a greenhouse project that we're running with UDC, School of Causes, where we'll be our program is working. UDC has a Master Gardeners program, so we'll be working, A, with the Master Gardeners, but we also starting an early growers program
where we're giving community members east of the river opportunity to come and grow seedlings in the greenhouse at the East Capitol Street Farm in D.C., where those seedlings can either be sold or part, the ones that we'll be growing will be going to D.C. public schools, east of the river community gardens or school gardens, where they just have strong seedlings to start off with. Just start them off with just a good start. And so we're doing some stuff with greenhouse. We have a greenhouse on our that new farm called The Well at Oxen Run, where we're doing some stuff out of there too. So just definitely, I think it's a big space for collaboration, and just the importance of all these different components. I think one of the things I said when I first came on is it's people moving in this space, but people moving in different lanes. So whenever we can combine those lanes or bring three or four vehicles that are going in the same direction on the same highway, I think that's how you truly win. So I'm looking forward to just reconnecting after today.
Okay. And you know what? Chris was here the whole time. I forgot to unmute his mic. I'm sorry about that, Chris. Chris, call him your own.
Yeah. You're all good. Good morning. Hey, very nice to meet you, Ronnie. You're doing amazing work, and I appreciate, you know, any kind of collaborations. When I meet people, it's not for an accident. We're meant to happen. I've been working on my project. I'm the founder of HOPE, Housing Our People Everywhere. It is a 501c3 here in Illinois. And what it is to engage with our children in the afternoon, feed them, and then do something positive with them that's going to change someone's life forever. And I've got machinery that will produce a few feet of material per second. That's 120 feet of material a minute. And they don't show up late to work. They don't complain. They don't ask for lunch. And they make jobs. But they also give purpose. Every person on earth has a purpose. They just don't know it. And if they think they found it, I promise, do you enjoy it? Because if you don't enjoy it, you ain't found joy yet. That's your purpose. Because I want you to enjoy what you do so you never work a day in your life. But we need to show our children that they are the solution to every adult's problem. And they are inheriting every one of them. And I actually just have my son here in my car right now. And I'm glad that my mic was muted and I couldn't talk. I was trying, but I was definitely emotional because I hadn't seen him in 4 months. And here he is, you know, looking wonderful. And looking better than he has in 10 years. You know, it made me excited because I'm continuing to see him grow. And he's grown a lot, literally, mind, soul, and body. And that's what this is about. You know, if every person is a creator every second of the day. But what do you create? Is it positive? Is it negative? And maybe it's an invention. Maybe it's making some invention better than another. The thing is we won't know unless you share it. But if we don't engage with our children, they're the most creative things on earth. And plus, they're pure love. So they don't know negativity and anger, us, you know, any of that until they meet us. And I think it's time for us to meet them. And by doing what we're doing, I'm trying to get into a parking garage at the moment. But doing what we're doing gives not only them a purpose, it gives everyone a purpose. They don't even have to ever change their career. They can continue doing what they're doing. But let's get our people off the street and on their feet. We're only as strong as our weakest link. So let's make our chain out of titanium and pick up these links and mend them while they're in our hands. Because in the palm of your hand is peace on earth. If you show me the back of your hand, you can't help me. But if you give me the palm of your hand, we can do anything together. And we can create unity in a community, giving an equal opportunity. And unity is you and I together's why. And to me, that's what it takes to give it to the community. Because when you take unity out of community, you don't have one. If you take unity out of opportunity, you don't have one. And it really, every adult on earth, to give our children a legacy that will live on forever. And I will look very forward to working with you and any other charities, programs, people, community. They don't have to have a charity to do something to change someone's life. All it takes is for you to come and spend an hour or two doing something together that makes sure that every person don't have to worry about sleeping outside unless they're camping. You know, give them a choice. But let's not make a choice up for them. To me, that's not being productive. It's not being the solution that I want to see. And I like to be the change that I want to see. And, you know, we've got an opportunity to go down and show a bunch of artists' work that are just exceptional, beautiful, and also showing some tiny homes. We're working on getting them over there to the site right now. And letting people know that any blueprint, anything that's ever been designed and ever will be, our children can design the cities of the future by doing something through first grade through eighth grade, every day after school, working with every college student that needs their internship, their community service hours, that know the CAD system or architects. And that's what this is about. It's just about, you know, building a green built home. I did build a home in the middle of the woods with cordless screw guns to prove I could do it in any jungle on the planet in 2011. And I got a congressional endorsement on that by Congressman Timothy Johnson. And he hand-delivered that to President Obama. But in that, what he said, Chris has created a way to give the homeless homes and the jobless jobs. That's a pretty bold statement to go say to our president and at the same time not ever get a response. So I had to continue going until I become a 501c3 in 2018. But that house was also deemed the best built home in the city by every building inspector. And we just built a tiny house with two kids that from another city. Two Novembers ago, they built the frame in the middle of a parking lot in 2.5 hours, and they never touched a saw. And I just started a youth program with one of the factories down in Louisiana, and they just built a 1,800-square-foot house, or no, yeah, 1,800-square-foot home, and they outbuilt the adults next door. And they never touched a saw. And they came back and they wound up building a building that was three times that size because then they got the opportunity to build floor joists. But they're not doing it for nothing. They're going to earn a home. And being a 501c3, we can set it up to where we don't ever have to worry about them getting it taken by taxes because I can partner with every child on earth, and I have, although they just don't know it yet. But every adult has to earn it by learning it. But that was something I learned about an NGO. An NGO is only limited as far as you want to limit yourself. And I'm going to use 10% of my body to do my work. And that's unlimited because I can multiply and get many people doing it. And my body, you know, yes, I can do so much with them, but we can do so much more together. So it was very nice meeting you, and I look forward to our conversation.
Okay. Now, Chris, share with Ronnie, you or Carlos, the event that you guys are headed to in Miami, Florida? Because there's Miami, Ohio, too, but we're talking about Miami, Florida.
Well, Carlos has got the stuff with him. He knows what he's bringing. We're bringing digital sustainable art show to the Basel Art Festival and the Frigid Art Fest. The one thing about the Art Basel is it plays in three countries, in Japan, Paris, and Miami. And it's the largest art show in the country, and I'm very humbled to be able to be one of the – see, the one thing about the Art Basel is it's a bunch of other festivals and stuff that are going on throughout the whole entire city. So there's so many different other things that we will be interacting with, and it's here for people to be able to – you can go into our Metaverse gallery – anywhere you are in the country, and you can we want you to be able to purchase that art just like the people that are walking through the exhibit there in Miami. So know that this is the thing that we're doing with the artist is artist for a cause, and they are donating a percentage of the proceeds of anything that's bought to the Hope for Dream Habitat project so that we can bring these solar greenhouses and green built homes and projects to every community in the country and throughout the world. We want to end the homeless problem everywhere. This belongs to everyone. I tell people a few acronyms. HOPE is Humans on Planet Earth, Honoring Our Patriots Everywhere, Housing Our People Everywhere, and Honoring Our People Everywhere. Every person is equal, and they need to know that. And every palm, I don't care where you are, if you can hear my voice, look at the palm of your hand. I guarantee it's pink. And that is what is a perpetual motion, forward, positive thing that can happen is you can use that grip on. You can do so many things with your palm of your hand. But the back of your hand, try to grab something. You can't do it. Only thing you can do is push away and deflect. So the back of your hand is not your tool. The tool is the palm. And we want people to realize that you are so amazing. You have no idea what the future is going to be. But as we turn on your light, everyone's light, when it gets lit, this is going to be brilliant. But everyone needs to know they matter. And we're, like I said, we're only as strong as our weakest link. But there are so many people that are down and out and don't have a place to go that are so brilliant. So amazing. We all have our specialties, every one of us. And that's the thing that our children need to know, because if they can continue to grow and just be that excellence, wow, what a generation we will be growing. But that's where we just take what's in our hand. You know, if you hold a seed in your hand and you never let it go, it'll never grow. So, you know, I take what money I can get and I help others, but I just throw it. Here it goes. Because if that harvest is supposed to be 100 yield, when it comes in, I'm going to keep one and throw 99% of that right back. Because if you look at the analogy of a mouse can reproduce. So do you want your blessing to be a mouse, you know, size? Or let's think about an elephant. It takes years for them to make a baby. So do you want your blessing to be that? Now imagine the blessing the size of an elephant coming, but then you threw 99 of those out there. When they come back, now when it comes back again, you're talking herds. It's time to stop the extinction and be distinctive about what we do. And we've came up with ways that people can be financially behind this project to support all projects in every community, because we're here to enhance them. But it's also time to put stitches and probiotics in the wound and make sure that all the Band-Aids that are out there are medicated, and they make sure this infection never comes back without using a drug, except for love. That right there is key. Our children are pure love, and that's enough without a bluff. We need to stop and do not deny that we have lost that ability, and we need to realize opening our heart and our eyes and see what is going on around you and me. People walk around with blinders on. I want to take them off. I want you to see, because things are going to start to change. But also, what can you do by sharing a message? If we all get on the same message, it would be amazing.
My son wrote something here. It says, hope, handing out positive every day. Positivity every day. That's the key. But our children don't know anger. They don't know envy. They don't know spitefulness. They don't know how to show, being disgraceful. They don't know that stuff because they only learn what we teach them. But our children are going to become the teachers, because when they come home and say, hey, mom, dad, or just mom, or just dad, or maybe aunt, maybe grandma, you don't know what their situation is. But hey, come and look and see what I did today. Because they're going to build something that will last 1,000 years or more, thousands of years, and it can be recycled thousands of times. But it didn't have to use an organic product to do it. And we can build any blueprint that's ever been designed and give you more options than what that one did. That's the amazing part about using the technology that we have today to reverse the problems that we've created. We've done more damage to this planet in 100 years in the Industrial Revolution than we had 1 million prior. This planet is, almost 4.5 or 5 billion years old. We're just a speck in the sand here. But let's start to change the hourglass, make it a legacy glass, one that'll never run out, make it an eternal clock. But it's inside of us, the perpetual motion of life. But that's your heart. So I need people to ignite a fire in your heart that water will never put out, and start an inferno that will never burn you. Start recovering and rebuilding every natural disaster and never use another tree. Use the recycled material from the plastic, styrofoam, and fiberglass, washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, water heaters, and cars. And build back something that will withstand wind, fire, and water. So they won't burn, won't absorb water. They're stronger, termite-free, mold-resistant, seismic, recyclable. Build them without a dumpster. Build them cheaper than wood. And get a 60% discount on insurance versus a wooden home. This is what you have. And I'm ready to come and show you in moments what you will be able to do forever.
Okay, we're going to take a little, a 3 or 4 minute break, so go get your water, coffee, juice, whatever, hit the head or whatever. We'll be right back in a few minutes.
Baby. to do. Learn how to grow peanuts. And then make my own peanut butter.
I was saying earlier, I'd like to learn how to grow peanuts and make my own peanut butter. I have a simple delight that I know how to make. But I take some, peanuts, or peanut butter. This peanut butter already prepared. I like the chunky type stuff. Chunky peanut butter, you put it in the blender. You put some milk in. Now, you can use cow's milk, you can use rice milk, whatever kind of milk, soy milk or whatever. But the peanut butter, I like crunchy. The type of milk that you like, you can put some brown sugar in there or white sugar. You just whatever you want. It's a sinful device. Like, it's not a health food drink. It's for your sinful pleasure. Put in that blender, maybe put a little ice in there, turn on the blender, you get a nice milkshake. You can also put in that concoction chocolate. So you got the chocolate and the peanut butter and all that mixed in there. And since it's the holiday season, kick in just a little bit of rum. And you got a nice drink. You can serve that hot. Or you can heat it up and you mix it up in the blender. So it's an alternative to spiked eggnog. If you want to go to spiked way, but it tastes great without adding anything to it. Let's see. We're trying to get, I think Ronnie, he kept on going in and out. So, all right, while we're waiting for him to come back, let's open up Chris and Carlos's mic. Could you guys share with us now the event that you're going to, does it start today or what? Or tomorrow?
The event is actually Thursday through this Saturday, or through Sunday, I'm sorry. Thursday through Sunday in Miami. Can you guys hear me okay? Because I'm driving down.
Yeah, I can hear you clear.
Oh, you can. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know with all the road noise whether you guys can hear me or not. But, yeah, I think it's going to end Sunday, and it's down there in Miami, and it's, you know, I think it's part of Miami Art Week. And I just want to give a shout-out to the artists that are helping with Home for Dream Habitat Project, which is the project to build tiny houses that feed and house the homeless. I want to give it a shout-out to the artists that are contributing. I want to give a shout-out to Maria Babliak and her mom, Arena Versenko. These ladies are co-inventors, and they're also artists, architects, and inventors now. And they've contributed their beautiful, beautiful art with a portion of it going towards the Hope for Dream Habitat project. We also have Doug Sanford, a world-class photographer, incredible friend of mine. He has helped film my Kickstarter video that's going to be coming out. And he's coming down with some of his incredible photographic artwork to bring down to Art Basel Fridge Art Fair. We also have Jonas Rader of Rader's Originals out of New York City. And he's got five, these are all physical objects. They're oil on canvas, paintings. And then on top of that, we've got, Chris can talk about, he's got a veteran artist that I believe we're going to have some digital, we'll be showing some digital art of him, and perhaps Chris may be bringing a physical piece, but I don't know if that was able to happen. So thank you for letting me give a shout out to our wonderful artists. We're also looking for DJs, you know, anybody that wants to contribute, that wants to back this project. If you're, you know, if you're a DJ, an artist that wants to sell some of their content in order to help a good project. I know a lot of DJs and artists have been homeless, you know, and a lot of, you know, when we reach out to the DJs and artists, they all want to contribute. So thank you with that.
Yeah, the artist that I've got here, he's a disabled veteran, and he's been in movies. He is an amazing man, and he's a novelist as well. He does have a book. I do have his book right here. It is called I'm Back and the Truth Hurts. And you can get it at Barnes & Noble and all those bookstores. I encourage people to get this book. It is the sequel to the movie of 1951, The Day the Earth Stood Still. And this is his son returning. A science fiction book, but it is full of truth. And I think you'll love it. And I do have it. It will be down there for people to see. The artwork is on his website, and we're going to be showing all of it. It is physical art, so you can either get a print of it or you can buy the original piece. His artwork goes up to $149,800 for one piece. He is an international artist, but he has some amazing art. And I'm very humbled to be able to meet him. I was able to help him on Veterans Day, and I got him introduced to SIVA, that is doing the Frigid Art Fair, which that starts on the 29th. So that actually will be starting tomorrow, I believe, right? Today's 28th, or is it 29th?
29th, I believe.
I'm not sure.
Chris, hold on a minute. We got Ronnie here. Ronnie has to – he's got a meeting to go to. So, Ronnie, before you leave out, any closing statements from you today, at least? Ronnie?
I just love hearing about the great work that the two gentlemen had that were talking. I love how they're connecting different – like, I think education is the key. So, I like how they're connecting different – for instance, like maybe like – trade programs, or they're collaborating with different sort of groups out there who already have some infrastructure who they can build off of. I think that's genius. I think that is the way to work. So I'm really excited to hear more about their work. Lee, I appreciate the platform that you are creating here, the conversations that are taking place. These are impactful conversations that need to be heard. And this is a place where brainstorming is happening, collaboration is being created. So just really super appreciative of this opportunity. Can't wait to come back. Definitely want to, you know, if anyone wants to learn any more about the work that we're doing, you can check Green Scheme out, GreenScheme.org. Also, we have a artesian bottled water company, shop, cornerwater.com, shopcornerwater.com. You can learn more about our water program. But I'm just really thankful to be here and sending blessings and good
Ronnie, real quick. Ronnie, quick before you go. Now, where are you sourcing your water from?
The water's coming from Mechanicsville, Virginia, and it's coming from an artesian water, which means it's extracted straight from the earth, the natural minerals, naturally alkaline, none of that synthetic stuff that you put in there. Mechanicsville, Virginia, is about an hour and a half to 2 hours from D.C. So we actually source it locally, and then we actually distribute it locally.
Man, you just gave me an idea. I'm where I'm right now. I got my own well, and then 3 hours away from here in Florida, I got a four acre plot of land, which has got nothing but groundwater in it. So you've given me an idea. Well, Ron, I'm glad you called in. I wanted to make that connection because, like I said, Carlos is right in Falls Church. He's in Florida right now. We're headed towards Florida. So I figured, you know, and him and Chris and myself, we're on Clubhouse like every day. That's how we met, Clubhouse. So that's why I asked about that.
Nah, that sounds good. And I can't wait to connect, Lee. So after this, I got your information. I'm going to make sure I connect so I can reconnect with all of us.
Okay, and I'll shoot the information to you as well. All right, thanks, Ronnie.
All right, thank y'all. Have a good day.
Mm-hmm. All right, bye. And Ronnie, I thought about him yesterday. I had to connect with somebody to get him, which was Walter Ray, who's an attorney up in Washington, D.C. He also has a nonprofit called EGOS, which stands for Education Goals Opportunity. Let me get it right. EGOS. Education is the E. Goals, opportunity, and sports. Okay, EGOS. Yeah, EGOS. Yeah, EGOS. He's helped a lot of people get into college, but he's got a nonprofit also. So hopefully we can do a collab with that. Now, let's see. Carlos has dropped off, so he's in motion, and he's on the, 95, Highway 90, Interstate 95. So he might be going in and out of, cell connection. We heard him clear, but, you know, you're talking and you're moving, and he might not be able to hear. So, Chris, let's get back to you. So, with this exhibit or this event that you guys are headed to in Florida, what part or what role does tiny housing play into that?
I'm going to be displaying some tiny houses. And we're going to show so many different other options that people can have. I think everybody in the country should have a tiny house situation in their backyard. You know, you can use it as an Airbnb to make money. You can, if you have a huge problem, and maybe you have, you know, there's not a family in the country that's not dysfunctional. But it's also, what do you do once you have it? You know, if you build a tiny village, then you deal with each individual person differently. If it's something that, you know, is just a recreational situation, then, you know, there really isn't meaning anything but other than to have that recreational thing. But the tiny house situation and the sustainable thing is I'm building a sustainable tiny home. But, you know, actually having the bathroom, having the dignity to be able to go to the bathroom anytime you want without having to share it with another, sleeping next to, and have to sleep next to somebody else, this is the key thing, and it don't take that big of a footprint to give somebody something they can call their own. And we've been able to do it in 120 square feet, and then we've got a 240 square foot. Now, in between that, you can start, you know, it could be anything you want. You can actually put a loft into that and make it about the 120 into a 180 very easily. So you're doing it on a 120 square foot footprint, but you're doing something. And they're actually trying to call me from Miami right now, from the art festival. But.
Well, matter of fact, because I know you guys are traveling, so we're going to do another abbreviated podcast today because we did want to, because, you know, you guys are traveling. So, Chris, I'm give us some final thoughts here, and then we're going to wrap it up for here on the day. And then I'll, if you guys are on Clubhouse later, I'll catch you on Clubhouse.
Okay. Well, we still want to do our workshops, and so far nobody's taken the challenge to where am I going after Miami. And one of my search and rescue teams, Storm, they're actually doing fundraising right now to make sure that I'm there to do my speaking events that I need to do. But also, they've got a 100-acre project that they're donating the first 5 acres of it. It's in Fort Myers, Florida, and we have a guy that was helping during the storm that is homeless, but we got him housing temporarily with a family, but he is going to wind up getting one of these houses on the 5 acres, but also being able to build it. The 5 acre part of it is very secluded as far as you can't see it, but it is right there in town. The whole 100 acres is surrounding it. So we're looking forward to being able to do something super positive that people can't necessarily see, but they're not going to see them out in the street either. So we're working, as soon as I get in with Miami, we're probably going to wind up going to Fort Myers and getting that project maybe on the way and getting it going. So we are having that discussion. I've talked to him this morning.
Well, I'm pretty sure before the end of the event, you'll have other people that'll set things up for that challenge. So it's in the works. Let's just put it that way.
I agree. And it's a beautiful day. We all got to open our eyes and take a breath. And all of us are going through things. I'm going through things because of the things that I've done. And here's the repercussion of the refuge. People seek refuge from me every day. And I seem to get a refuge in the negative that was going in their life coming toward mine. But I don't let that hold me down. I continue to move positive way and start to see a light. Now, I know whatever negative is happening, it's going to happen. But whatever positive I can put toward this effort that's going to change things, that is what I need to achieve. And that's what people need to achieve. When they feel like they're just down and out and there's nothing, you still have your mind, you can still think positive. You can figure out things that will change tomorrow and make sure that yesterday doesn't happen, but you're going through it today. So everything you are going through, just, you know, think positive. Don't think all about the negative and what you're not being able to do. Throw everything you can at something new, something positive. And it helps me get through everything that I go through. And I can tell you stories all day long, just how my day is. But it's an adventure. And life is an adventure. But it don't need to be a struggle. And that's what we're doing this podcast
about. Right.
It's time to stop the struggle.
All right. Well, that's the last word. So we're going to cut it short for today. Safe travels and logistics and all of that. We'll see you guys tomorrow.